I'm gonna start explaining a little bit something about our collective, and then I will give the word to the FAO foreign section, and then to ask sorry because we had a lawyer that should come tonight, but it was not possible for him, and we had a section of question and answer with him, but it was not possible. So we are Berlin migrant strikers, and we are a collective of migrants coming from different parts of Italy, different backgrounds, different origins. We got to know each other here in Berlin, we were brought together by a common our common condition of migrants and our common social condition, and also by our experience we collected here in Berlin, both good and bad. And all the problems that we found in such a big metropolis like this, like first of all the housing problem, the job problem, language problems for bureaucracy and everything. Mm-hmm. So that's why with the time one of our main aim became the idea to spread possible info for all the people that arrive here, and to help all the migrants, all the workers to defend themselves, and to start a project of collective self-defense to face all these problems that we face when we arrive in such a big city. So our basic concept is the idea that solidarity, mutualism, and cooperation are the basic principle and the only way to deal with these problematics. And that's why we also started and we focused our attention on the problem of the exploitation restaurant industry, so to say. So, as many of us have had a lot of experiences in this industry, and it's the main job that we can find when we arrive and we don't know the language, and the easiest one to find is the job in the restaurant industry, in the restoration, and also because in the last 4 years in Berlin there was a real boom of the migration, so a lot of people are arriving not only from Italy but also from other countries of Europe that are living experiences this crisis. And so we start to collect a lot of stories, a lot of strange stories about work conditions and work experiences. And we decided to fight against this exploitation and precariousness, which we know they are problem that regards not only Italy. That's why we left our country, because we face everywhere exploitation, working poor. But we run away, and we know that this is a problem that we can find everywhere in Europe, because it's a consequence of the capitalistic work reforms that are going around in all Europe and are always more attacking worker rights, worker security, and in advantage always of the bosses and of the employers. So, as we believe that self-organization and is the only possible way to fight exploitation, and we think that the fight can start through, first of all, sharing knowledge and debate and confrontation. We think that our first step should be collecting always more stories and trying to understand what are the different kinds of exploitation, what are the different strategies of the bosses, to which people they apply mostly, because there are some some features in common, no? For example, from the stories, from our experience also, we understood, of course, that there are different strategies that they use. First of all, the most common is work without contract, so without, completely without any right. Then there are, of course, people that may have contract, but it's a fake contract. Maybe they don't declare all hours, they don't declare the right amount of money they pay. So actually, in reality, the job is underpaid, or is the worker must work a lot of hours, more than normal, more than 8 hours also in a day. And also then here in Germany there's this special kind of contract, like a called mini job, many of you already know, for which you don't have any health insurance, and that's the most common problem that foreigners people face when we have a contract. And also this problem regards also a lot of freelancer, for example, because in Italy, for example, we have a free insurance. We never thought about this problem. And when we come here, then if we are a freelancer or we don't have a job, we have to think about this health insurance that we don't have actually, because our Italian one is not valid anymore. So, and then we have to talk about all the jobless and all the people that are in the system of the hard sphere, and then that's even worse, no? So, what's our strategy? What we are trying to do is trying to make more contact and make more connections. Try to spread more information and try to make like a sort of map of all the places in Berlin where the exploitation takes place, and we would like to make like a file, a collection of data, so to say, so to understand this thing. So where the people work, what kind of contract, what kind of condition, what age also, no? Because every according also to the age, we can face also different problems, no? So what kind of contract, the kind of payment, and first of all also the problem that they had in the restaurant. So when we have a lot of data, we can also try to think about another strategy to go on. And in a legal way, there can be other solutions. And now I will let also Dimitri talk about the FAO. What does the FAO do? How between the labor union you can how that this labor union can help the workers to fight against exploitation.
So hi, I am Dimitri from the foreign section of the FAO, and I am here today as a guest to make an introduction on unionism and the FAO. FAO, of course, means Free Workers Union in English. And so the FAO is a German-wide union confederation, also part of International Confederation of Worker Unions, using anarchist methods as a way to organize the working class. The FAO has a long history that starts from the beginning of the 20th century, the same time with the rise of the anarcho-syndicalistic movement in a worldwide level. The big point in terms of active members for the FAO, it can be somewhere around the mid of the 19th century until the mid of the 1930s, when the movement of the Nazis came to the power and halted every working struggle. The union also made a significant reorganization of its entity in 2007. Now, what do? We practice anarcho-syndicalism as a way to organize the society, the working class, and the subject itself as an answer to our current problems and with a long-term goal to be the transformation of the society towards the social revolution and the liberation from the wage slavery. For us, anarcho-syndicalism is clearly part of social anarchism and not an aspect of lifestyle anarchism. We try and we work towards to educating our members and ourselves in the principles of anarcho-syndicalism, and we promote the practice of direct action. As foreigner section, we find important that in a metropolis like Berlin, the immigrants have a voice and they are not unprotected, isolated against the exploitation of the working class. The basic principles for us is that we, the workers, know the depth of our problems and the solutions for them, because it's for our interest. Only we can solve our problems united and not any kind of expertise. We are also against the logic of assignment, because everybody must take part in the shaping of the imperatives and the strategies through the ideology of anarcho-syndicalism. Anarcho-syndicalism to overcome our religion. Our structures, of course, are horizontal and non-hierarchical, and every subject must take the responsibility of their speech and their action. Of course, as an anarcho-syndicalistic union, we are also anti-capitalists, anti-sexists, and anti-fascists. That's us.
So, I don't know if there's someone who wants to tell us his experience. Some of you has faced the problem, experience of exploitation in the restaurant industry. That wants to tell us, maybe? Also, if you have some questions, legal question.
As we all know, from the 1st of January 2015, it's the first time we have a minimum wage in Germany. The minimum wage is 8.5 euros for every hour of work. I would say that every worker that is still paid with less money from this amount has every right to claim his right, which is a minimum wage of 8.50 euros per hour. This can be done also, if you go back in time, I don't know. For example, if somebody is paid from the start of the year with a lower rate of 8.5 euros, he can claim this money. He can claim the difference, the economical difference, from the 1st of January until today. And something practically, people many times think that because they are working black, they can't prove that they were working or they can't do any legal actions. But if you keep your mind open and always remember to gather information that you were working there, like photos of the time shifts and the timetable, have a nice relationship with your colleagues at work, these things can't help you in a legal case. So,
does the minimum wage apply to every kind of work?
I'm not sure, but as far as I know, it's all in, it's everybody included, except the workers that they work for a season time.
The people who has a solar number? If I have a mini job contract, it will be within the minimum wage. But if I work as a sub-syndicate,
Freelance, you make the price anyway.
Okay.
Because what we found in these first 2 months of minimum wage were some strange cases. Like, for example, some restaurants started to ask to the people who are working in the kitchen, like also washing gas dishes and so on, to make the soya numa. So they don't have this minimum wage, for example.
But like freelance.
Like freelance. Ah. Or, yeah, I mean, something like that. And then in this way, the owners don't need to pay you the insurance, for example.
This is actually illegal. It's very common practice in Berlin that employers make you become a freelance, even though you're not a freelance. And you can actually sue an employer for this. Unfortunately, you can also self get into trouble for this. Basically, what you have to prove is that you only have one employer. If you're constantly working for the same employer and you have hours at the same employer, this is not a real freelance job, which makes it illegal. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I wanted to say. So it has nothing to do with the Steuernummer, if you have it or not. It basically has to do with, if you're a freelance, you have to have contracts from several employers. Otherwise, it's not a freelance job, and then it's illegal. And this you can try out in court.
And also, I heard about other cases of people who have, in the
paycheck. Paycheck.
Mm-hmm. 8.50 per hour, but then at the end, it's just a fake. They receive like 6 or 7, and then they just change the number of hours.
The boss pay in black. The boss pay in black. And
or just they change the numbers of hours. And I mean, in this way, how we can manage the situation is just bullshit, no?
Well, I mean, as Dimitri said before, what you can do with employers who are not following the rules is that you always have to document everything. You have to take photos of your paychecks, you have to take photos of your bank account, Kontoauszüge. You have to talk with your co-workers that everybody knows how many hours you worked. Before you can make it into a juridical thing, you have to have proof. And basically, like, the only thing I can say to the people who work black is don't be afraid to say that you do, because it's actually not a problem for you, it's a problem for the employer.
And something for the previous topic. Of course, the capitalism itself wants you to be a freelancer, because it makes less problems for you, him, it helps dividing the working class, etc., etc., etc. Okay?
Can you explain better what the requirements for the mini job contract are, such as the maximum number of hours, maximum wage, and what your proposal is to make it better? So I know that the Krankenkasse isn't paid by the employer if you're on a mini job contract. I also think I know that there are other benefits that you get. For example, if you're a working mother and you have a mini job contract, you get longer vouchers for Kita and stuff like that. So if you were to employ, or if you were to be employed as a mini job worker, what do you propose? If someone is already in that situation, how can you make it better? As in, is it legal to ask the employer to participate in paying, say, half of the Krankenkasse with the employee? So if someone is in that situation, how do they make, what's the strategy to make their life better if the employer doesn't want to raise the number of hours, and if they don't want to raise the wage, obviously, because they get out of paying the Krankenkasse and some of the tax? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does the question make sense?
I just wanted to say, in the case of mini job, now with the minimum wage, €8.50, I think there will be another problem, or one additional problem. I mean, if the mini job contract is until €400, no? €450. Okay, but if the minimum wage now is €8.50, then she should declare, or the employer
she declares she make less hour, no? If she has to keep the mini job, otherwise automatically it's not anymore a mini job because with 8 euro 50 and so. What's
so
the
threshold is for the maximum wage that you can get rather than the maximum amount of hours that you can work.
Yes.
So that's how the rule is written, basically. Okay.
There are some...
Okay.
So first of all, it's legal for an employer to have as many people as possible working with mini-job contracts.
Okay.
Okay, and beyond that, this mini-job thing was... for a lot of years, and it's still now, like an unwritten contract between the employer and the employee in terms of, I won't pay what I must pay for you, but you can take a mini-job contract, you can take afterwards the money from the Hatspia system, and you can game and send money black, directly to your pocket, without paying taxes, without paying anything.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that, yeah, that was my question, as in, what is the logic behind it? How does the state allow this to happen? What's the logic behind regularizing this sort of arrangement? So,
what's the logic behind capitalism?
We've talked for 5 hours about that, but what I'm saying is, the man who wrote the law, what is their justification? Like, what do they say they give you if you accept that sort of position? So is it tax breaks for you and your family? Is it Kita vouchers? Is it other things that I don't know about? Does that make sense, what I'm asking you?
No, it's just... It makes sense.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Because like, I work in people's homes, and so I see this a lot. And what I'm saying is, if before it was just a private writing or agreement between the employer and the employee, and the state then went on and legalized it and called it a mini job, there must be something, there must be a way for them to make it seem logical. And so I'm wondering what that is.
Well, basically the history of mini jobs in Germany, it was created to make short internships, practicums, and Nebenarbeit legal, which means that it's actually targeted towards usually women who before were not working and the families that needed an extra income, the mother went out to work for a short period of time
and it
would be legal.
Okay, for her to find employment.
For instance, for this you also have Steuerklasse 2, for it's the tax regulation for a loan raising parents. There are some benefits there, for instance. You were right about the Kita voucher.
Yeah, this is why I know a lady was asked my employer to give her a major contract in order to send her children to school for longer.
Yes, you can get some benefits from the Kita vouchers.
Okay.
Basically, you can prove that your child needs to be in Kita longer.
Longer then. And is that it, or are there...
Well, yeah, I mean... Not really, because like there's also the benefit of you actually are paid into the social system a little bit when you're on a mini job basis.
So it's like, is there pension? Is there anything paid into?
Yes, there is, but it's a very, very small percentage.
So those years then will be in your work history will be seen as having been paid a lesser percentage than you should have paid. And how does that work then when you go into full-time work after that? Do they detract more? Do they detract?
Yes, then the social and Rentenversicherung amount increases. Exactly.
So does that mean that if...
But you don't get the money back, so to say. It's
exactly.
Not, no, no,
so does that mean that from a mini job you go into full-time employment, does that mean that then you will be paying more taxes on your net salary for a number of years until...
No, it never levels up.
It never levels up. But then when you do retire or need healthcare or whatever, will you be receiving less due to the years that you've paid? Okay.
And we mustn't forget also that the mini-jobber, it creates working positions and it helps the state to show that it has a healthy economy and low unemployment rates.
This is how Germany lowers its unemployment rates and gets a lot of applause in the European Union system, basically.
But I think it is, as you said, that in the past, mini jobs were legitimated that in a couple, usually the man earns much money, and then the woman also wants to earn a little bit for herself. But as a woman is already insured by the man, if they are married, And so because of the tax classes, the woman, if she earns too much money, she has to pay very much percent of taxes. And so that it does not make sense anymore for women to work.
To earn more than a certain amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if a woman is in the bad tax class, she has to pay, I don't know, 50% of taxes. And for this special case, it was created, but now it's used from capitalists to...
So if you are a spouse of someone who works full-time and their Krankenkasse is paid by their employer, it covers your spouse.
Yes.
Hence, theoretically...
If you're married.
If you're married, legally married.
Yeah.
So hence, theoretically, it makes sense for you to not be paid Krankenkasse by your employer because you're already covered. Is that how... Is that the logic behind
it? The logic behind it basically is to open a possibility for the parent that is staying at home to work.
To go out and work without raising their tax threshold so much. So, okay,
and also, as I said, for students.
Okay.
Who can have a small part-time job when they're studying because they're also covered by, usually by the family insurance or the or student insurance that is.
I think now when we have the minimum wage, we have a base minimum wage and we have a few higher minimum wages for different sectors. And of course the capitalists are trying to find a way to fake this, like you work more hours than you get paid for. And I think for this it's important that you document by yourself if you, how long do you work and so on for each day. So in so that you can, that you are able to, how to say it, to approve it. If you are at on a tribunal, you can say, I have made a list, and then you can argument for it. And I think it's also important for freelancers that there are also there's also a law to prevent fake freelancing. For example, if you only work for one company and there are some conditions, if these conditions are true, then usually freelancing is not allowed. So there are also ways to fight against it by law.
Yeah, our idea was to listen also to some direct experience of workers, but if there's no one, if you're interested, we are collecting also your email if you want to be part of our mailing list, so we can inform you about our future event and or future action.
Hope with a lawyer.
Yeah, we hope that our next month appointment, the lawyer will be able to come, so we will explain. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, thank you very much for coming.